pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. Thank you for listening. Hope everyone's doing well out there. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving break. I know, with the exception of maybe for a few hours on Saturday, everything went well for yours truly. So, as I said, thank you for listening. Also, taking your text, I got some open phone, gonna have some open phone lines later in the hour, 251-343-0106. And we'll get the housekeeping out of the way. I want to introduce my next guest. Always a pleasure. First time I've had him on and down here for this listening audience, but represents the very northeast corner of the state of Alabama. My friend from my North Alabama days, State Senator Steve Livingston, joins us on the line. Senator, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm great. Well, thank you for having me on down in South Alabama. Y'all need to send some of that warmer weather up this way today. It's a little damp and dreary up here today, and they're calling for some snow flurries, so.
Well, I wouldn't say it's even by our standards. We got a lot of warm weather down here, but I guess we're not having to deal with the threat of snow. First off, still COVID-19 remains to be the big issue for a lot of us. How are things up your way in your district in Jackson County dealing with that?
Well, I suppose we're dealing like most of the rest of them are. The numbers are rising here locally. We have been gotten our numbers down in the, I guess, September time frame, down in the single digits daily, and now we're back up in the 60s, 70s, and 30s pretty much every day. We have new cases. The state's last 3 days is like 1,600, 1,800, and then 2,000 cases. So it's still rising. It's a tough situation, but I think if you do the right thing and just take some precautions and make sure you wash up and try to stay separated as possible. And I know some folks don't want to hear it, but the face masks apparently do help. It ought to be optional, but they do help. So,
do you find, I get varying responses depending on who I'm talking to and what parts of the state, but it seems like a lot of people just kind of, they're going along with it. Maybe they gripe a little, but the pushback is just enough to say we don't like it, but they're not defying any of these mandates.
They're not into the mandates in the least, and I totally understand that. It ought to be an option of what we do and how we do it. One thing for sure, we do not need to get back into closing down Alabama's economy. The governor's pretty well stated that she wants to keep Alabama open, and I think it's important that we keep Alabama open. We're struggling to get our economy to actually, it's been fairly good throughout all this, which is remarkable within itself.
Yeah, and state coffers have not suffered as much as we may have previously had thought with meeting obligations. That seems to be the case, that unlike a lot of states, while there have been some suffering and some struggles, it could have been far, far worse.
It could, really could have been. You know, we paid back the $301 billion to the stabilization fund, and at the end of the fiscal year, we still had a pretty positive growth in Alabama's economy. I'm not sure. The November numbers haven't come off yet, I don't think, but haven't seen them if they have, but no. One of the things we did learn is that Alabama has suffered through this pretty well. Our small bricks and mortar suffered because they were closed, and you know we've learned that all businesses are essential, whether they're small business or big business. We don't want to go back to the process of shutting them down, and we don't want to end up like some of our other states in the country with these huge shortfalls that they've got, you know, $60 billion that they're going to be short on our revenue. We're blessed. We're in good shape in regards to that. So that's a function of some things that have happened prior to my joining the legislature, but it's also a function of Senator Albritton's conservativeness in budgeting.
Something, you know, I don't know how this presidential election is going to play out, but something you mentioned that, you know, the signals from the early stages of this whole Biden process, transition process, if he should be president in January, talking about a shutdown, the governor has, to her credit, gotten out in front of this very early, partnered with the BCA, it seems, and has said absolutely no shutdown, no economic shutdown. Maybe it's a lesson learned from that, you know, experience from earlier this year.
You know, absolutely. We had my little community here at Scottsboro, our courthouse square was just absolutely deserted. There was nobody on it, no businesses open. You go out to the Home Depot and Walmart, and you could hardly get in their parking lot now. I told the governor on more than one occasion, or sent word to her on more than one occasion, that, you know, our Alabama small businesses can do the same thing that these big businesses are doing. They can do it more effectively than they can do it. And we have some good examples of that as things were allowed to reopen here, unclaimed baggage here in Scottsboro did a fantastic job of reopening under some mandates. And our other small businesses did too. So we're proud to see those come back and lead by example there.
Yeah, and I guess we're maybe something we won't have to worry about, at least on the state level for the time being, is something like that again. We may be wearing a mask till the vaccine is distributed or whatever, but the shutdown seems to be maybe out of the realm of possibilities for now.
All indications are that is the case, and that's the proper thing we do. We can mask up if we need to. It may be inconvenient, but it may also save your life. So,
joined by State Senator Steve Livingston of Scottsboro here on the program. Something I've been meaning to talk to you about for a while, and just had it. I guess it's been almost a year now since you launched this initiative. Your Aerospace and Defense Caucus, a statewide endeavor with these industries being such a big part of the Alabama economy. It looks like the legislature or at the legislative level, you guys are really kind of getting serious about this and recognizing that maybe there needs to be a focus because this is becoming more and more part of the economy from one end of the state to the other.
Well, we saw a need, Jeff, in having some sort of organization that can promote our aerospace and defense industry, and not only to promote it, but also help it in legislative terms as far as being able to help pass some bills that were beneficial to those industries, or in other instances, is stop something that's not beneficial to them that needs to be taken a look at. Obviously, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth is chairing the Aerospace States Association, and the governor has asked and had gotten on board with us pretty quickly to help us establish that and the need of it. One of the things that we went out to do was to get some indication of just exactly how big is this business in Alabama. And we're in the process of getting an RFP for a study on the aerospace and defense industry to determine just exactly how big it is. That we'll be excited to get that back. Hopefully we'll have that back while we're in session this next year. I'm not real sure we know exactly how big this industry is because we have lots of little small shops that do business for these big shops. And it may not always be the Boeing or the Lockheed or the Airbus that's doing it, but it may be some shop that's right outside of Mobile or right outside of Baymanette or right outside of Scottsboro that's doing it in this instance. And, you know, they may have 10, 20 employees, and they may do a substantial contract with these companies in the meantime. But we're trying to determine exactly how big that number is. And I think we're going to be very pleasantly surprised. We recently had a call in the Space Authority meeting with a gentleman from Colorado, and he talked about Colorado being number one or number two in that industry. And when we kind of got off of the call, some of the members of that call indicated that Colorado might not be number one. Might not be number two, that Alabama might be number two or might even be number one in that industry. So we'd be excited to see how that turns out.
I mean, it sounds to me like just like the auto industry, and you're talking about all these offshoot businesses popping up, all over the state. You build everybody uses the Toyota Mazda example, that it's while it is right there in Madison County, all these surrounding communities benefit because they will build a parts factory, like down in Montgomery with the plant there, and they, you know, the guys down in Butler County benefit from parts and services of factories there, that this aerospace could kind of follow a similar track.
And it will. You're exactly right. The Mazda Toyota plant in Huntsville is going up over there. It's a massive facility, and they're reaching across really the 16 TVA counties and a little further south in some instances to non-TVA counties, not including what they're touching in Tennessee as far as bringing employees in. It's very large, but you'll also find that the aerospace and defense industry is every bit as big as it is. So it's fun to watch, and it's going to be a really interesting number that we get this year, I think. I'm looking forward to that.
Real quick here, just got a few minutes left. Maybe not as relevant to this audience, but something I've been following really close. The Bellefonte nuclear power plant, those in this audience, just real quick, back in, I guess it was the 70s or 80s, they had put forth an idea of building a nuclear power plant in Scottsboro, and it's never really got online, but a lot of the infrastructure still exists. And now here lately, there's been some talk of a private company coming in and generating electricity there. Is there any updates on that? Because I haven't heard a whole lot about it in recent.
There's not really much update. You know, the gentleman that bought the company that bought it is suing TVA over lack of not completing the sale. There's some details that being worked out on that issue. There's a hearing, I think, next week in Huntsville between Nuclear Development and TVA in front of the judge, in front of the federal judge. It may yield some light. There's, you know, very positive hope for this plant to be built. This is plant's basically built. It's just got to be on, got some fine tuning to do. The facility's in place, cooling tower's in place. Got a lot of rework to do inside of it, but you know, it's a massive project. $13 billion for both reactors to be redone. It could have an impact of as many as 7,000 employees out there for as many as 10-12 years, settling into permanent employees in there, but 1,200-1,500 permanent employees out there. It could have a huge impact overall, but it's in the court system, and hopefully we'll get some more information, some positive response on that next week. I forgot the date. I think it's the 7th for some reason.
Does the potential for Biden administration cause for any concern, do you think?
They may not be as nuclear friendly as the Trump administration was. Not that they were overly friendly, but they may not be as friendly to the nuclear power. It is green power. It's something that, you know, we had a Google data center that sat down in Jackson County, and then it's quickly followed by one over in Madison County, and both of them have some sort of contract with TVA to provide them green power, which currently they're looking at solar for that, to be able to provide that. Well, nuclear is also considered green. That's the steady source. And then, of course, you've got the option of the city of Memphis leaving TVA is their single largest customer. They've been kicking around some RFPs for product and or for power, and they're trying to make their mind up. Nuclear Development, they told Memphis they could save them $500 million a year, and Memphis has done their own study. And I think it's more like $375 million a year they could save. That's a lot of money to do something to them in a community that's struggling. That's a lot of money you can spend to take care of your citizens.
All right, well said.
We're hopeful.
Thanks for that update, sir.